Hello and welcome to Behind the Journey. On this show, I talk about the unthin update and the tragic death of one of my idols. I'm at my prime. Hey, hey, I'm at my prime. Whoa. Said I'm at my prime. So I guess we're at war. So that just kind of transpired really fucking quick, didn't it? I mean, it was only 2 weeks ago where I was probably rambling on about my trip to Miami and Bitcoin price and nothing of real interest, probably, knowing how my mind just wanders. And obviously, like, right now, I guess we're at war. I mean, the Ukrainian people are definitely at war. Russia, definitely at war. I guess we're just, like, at the moment, the cheerleaders on the side of a pitch, jumping up and down and trying to, you know, throw some Lucozade sport on the pitch to keep the Ukrainians going. That's kind of the war we're currently playing. And a lot of topics of conversation have gone on over the last few days. A lot of opinions have been said. A lot of people have been discussing, you know, what if, what if, what if. And I thought I'd use this podcast to kind of get what I think out in audio form and understand where I'm currently at and what I currently believe. Now, obviously, you know, Russia have walked into Ukraine. I assume they expected Ukraine just to kind of put their guns down and to kind of fall for this this superpower. Obviously, it hasn't happened. The questions are this, right? There's some real basic questions we have here, which is, you know, are they just like a paper tiger? Like, do they literally have nothing behind them apart from sheer numbers on paper? Or are they sending in, you know, the most junior of soldiers? Do the soldiers even know they're fighting? These are all questions that are currently happening. I don't want to get into the discussions of war, what I believe is going on here. I want to look at this from an economic standpoint and a business standpoint, because there's going to be a lot of people giving you opinions on the war and the strategies that are being used and stuff, and I just don't think that's even close to my knowledge. Although I do like reading things, I don't think that you kind of care about my opinion on a war. What I will say is economic sanctions have been absolutely hit hard on Russia, and I think rightly so. But it has left the West open to huge, huge attack, right? So we're currently sitting in a position where they've been removed from the SWIFT network. Most of the Russian oligarchs that are, you know, top and center have been penalized. Central bank has been restricted. There's been $630 billion of Russian assets frozen by Western democracies. Russia's completely, utterly fucked. And to be honest, it's run down now to the Russian person, and the Russian citizens are now fucked. And what do I think is going to happen from this point? Look, I have no idea, right? I actually do think that the only way out of this for Putin with some sort of dignity is a negotiation with Ukraine. And if he doesn't do that, then I think we'll probably get nuclear war, is from my guess. But where does this leave us from a Western democracy and Western economics? I think what happens is this. I think that the only way forward for Russia is to be able to get involved with the CIPS network, which is China's equivalent of SWIFT. Basically, China will be laundering Russian gas and oil sales through their network. This will mean that Russian gas and oil will be closed in China's currency, the Chinese yuan. And what that basically means is the dollar is going to start losing its actual power in the world, right? Because the reason the dollar is so powerful is because it's the currency that everyone derives assets in, and it all comes from oil. Everything comes from oil in this world, right? So the moment that Russian gas and oil starts landing in a different currency than the dollar is therefore weaker. Now, if I'm going to start playing game theory, and look, I'm a massive Bitcoiner, right? Bitcoin was literally made for this reason. And I don't want Bitcoin to be utilized as a way that Russia avoided things. I just don't want it to happen. But I think that is what's going to happen, right? I think this is what's going to happen next. I think over the next 3 or 4 years, China and Russia will work on their own CBDC, their own central bank digital currency that acts as if it's a Bitcoin. And America's only option will be to invest heavily into its own or Bitcoin. And I think in the next 3 to 4 years, Bitcoin will be a very standard reserve asset for America. That's how I see this unfolding. I'm trying not to be all Bitcoin bullish on it. I just think that's how it's going to roll, right? I think that the only way out of this chaos is a decentralized asset. I mean, we've seen the Bitcoin price go up today. I think it was $5,000 in one day. And the reason I think that happened is because for the first time ever in the history of mankind, Switzerland were not neutral. Now, if we go back to all these different time periods over and over again, and of course, there's different reasons, but this is the reason I would be moving my money right now. It's for the first time ever, Switzerland decides to pick a side. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong picking a side. I'm not saying they're right picking a side. I'm just saying that Switzerland have always been this middle ground where you could store your assets in there and not worry if a war kicked off. Because look at what happened in World War II. The Nazis stored money in Switzerland, right? It was always a safe place for your cash assets and stuff like that, right? And for the first time, Switzerland has joined a side and the assets are no longer safe in Switzerland. So what do you do, right? Every single country is against you. What do you do? Well, the only place, the only democracy that nobody can control is Bitcoin. The only location that nobody can control is Bitcoin. So for me, it really, this whole idea right now, it's huge strength for Bitcoin's realization. I hope Russia don't lean on it and realize the power that Bitcoin has for them right now. But it makes a lot of sense to have your assets in Bitcoin right now. I mean, if we look at Canada as a core base, I mean, literally only like a week ago, you know, Canadians were getting their bank accounts frozen for protesting, which is insane. It's a complete and utter overstretch from authority. And now we have every country is freezing Russia's bank accounts and stuff, right? So as individuals, we have to start worrying and looking at our own sovereign wealth and how we can store our value and our wealth. Because right now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. Who knows what's going to happen next? But I just don't believe that we should be reliant on state and banks to make that decision for us, which is why, as always, I will say that I'm heavily invested in Bitcoin. Anyway, lack of that topic, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much. I think there's too many things being discussed about it. I don't want to be another person. And plus, let's all be honest with each other. We actually don't know what's going on over there. We're only seeing it through the eyes of Twitter, TikTok, the news, etc. So who knows? Hopefully, there'll be peace soon. Hopefully, negotiations sort themselves out. And from what I can see, hopefully, Ukraine can maintain sovereignty over their country. In other news, what's going on? I've had some really good opportunities land on my desk, I won't lie to you, in the TV space. I can't say any more than that, but they're really kind of cool. I'm seeing how far they go. I'm a big believer in never saying no to an opportunity, but following it through to the very end. And the moment somebody says yes or no to it, you can just decide whether you want to go ahead with it. And that's what I'm playing here. So that could be quite interesting. And what else is going on in the world? Also, I'm getting ready for Miami. Miami is about 2-3 weeks away now. So I've had all my, I think it's called the ESTA, is what essentially is the American visa, all been approved, which is amazing. So I'm looking forward to going over there. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just really tired at the moment. You know, work is really busy. There's a lot going on. I'm spinning a lot of plates. You know, we're up to, I think, 8 companies or something stupid now. And I won't lie to you, it's starting to show. It's more of a case of constantly thinking of something else. Like, you know, it's always a case of what else is currently on my mind? What should I be thinking about? The limited downtime is definitely a thing. So I'm just trying to play that as best as I can. And our media company with Tim Lovejoy, lovejoymedia.co.uk, launched last week. And today was the editor's first day. And I want to make this is a really good point, actually. I completely forgot. I didn't write any notes for this podcast, as you can probably tell from me rambling on. But something really nice happened, you know. Like, when we first started Distract, you know, 6 years ago now, I put an advert out for freelance journalists because I needed a group of people to write copy for me for the website and for future articles and stuff. And we hired about five freelancers, and we paid them like literally nothing, like £2 an article, you know. They're all like students in that. And three of them just were useless, right? They just didn't do much for it, to chase them, et cetera, et cetera. But two of them were really amazing, right? They put so much graft in. And one of them we employed, and she worked for us for quite a while. And the other one, just was so great that he just kept writing content for us as much as possible. And there was many times where I worked on for the business society at the university, where I'd give him like exclusives. And we had like Solomon Akhtar from The Apprentice come in. I'd give him like an exclusive with this chap. His name was Aaron Renfrey. And anyway, when Tim was saying to me, look, Pete, we need to look for an editor to run this media site, I was like, I know the perfect person. Like, I didn't have to do a job advert for this. So I picked up the phone and I said, Aaron, I've got one of the best opportunities I think possible in this industry. I'd really want you to come on board and be editor of Lovejoy Media, which is a new age media site. Do you want to come on board? And he was like, yeah, maybe. I've got a really good job right now at Bauer Media. Don't want to leave it. The people here are great. I was like, look, Aaron, spend 15 minutes with me and Tim. Let's have an open dialogue, an open conversation, just see where it goes. We had the open conversation dialogue and he was just like, do you know what? I want to come on board. So we sorted out terms. His first day was today. He came into the office and we did the whole onboarding thing. You know, this is the team that we work on the account with you, la, 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 la. And he left and he dropped me a text. It was a really, really nice text. I'm going to paraphrase it, obviously. But he said, Pete, it's amazing to see how far you've come from the tiny little office that I was in when you started to the massive office I left today. Like, you should be proud. And Tim called me later on the day and just said, like, how did you get on? Blah, 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 blah. And I told him about this, what Ari had sent me on text. And I said, you can really tell the great people in this world by how they respond when they don't have to respond, or how they act when they don't need to act. And that's how you find decent individuals in this world. And that's exactly what Aaron did there. He had no need or reason to just text me out of the blue saying, you should be so proud of yourself, la, la, la. He didn't need to make me feel good or feel thankful for what, you know, there was no reason. I wasn't expecting it from him. And he did it anyway. And those are the people we should be drawing ourselves towards. And those are the people that we should be supporting on our journey as well, because they support us on ours. And I think it's really rare these days. You know, it's really, really rare that individuals are happy to watch from the sidelines, but don't want to pat you on the back. They're happy to see how you're getting on, but they don't want to say congratulations on getting on. And I've noticed as I've gone further through my career and further through my business career, it gets rarer and rarer, you know, like the people that make it to the top are the people who have great EQ and they can navigate scenarios like that, and they're very open with their compliments and they're very supportive. That's what I found the people at the top. But what I've found as I've gone through the journey is the people, as they go further up, get less of it. I never really thought it that way before. But the people at the top give all the EQ and have all the EQ, sorry, but they don't receive it from people with EQ. We're always giving it out, whenever receiving it. So when you receive it, it's kind of amazing to see. And yeah, I don't know if I should have taken it as well as I did. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think if I should have just been like, oh, cheers, mate. But I really did take it well. And it was really nice for him to say that. And I made him very aware that it was nice for him to say that. Because when you see great things like that, it's good to call it out and say, like, amazing stuff. Unthin's doing really well at the moment. I've just turned down the ads, actually. We were growing pretty aggressively. I've just turned down the ads quite dramatically. I think we've just turned down the ads to 25% of what they were currently running at. Just to be able to give us some bedding, right? We were growing so quick. We were adding so much. Like, it was hundreds of thousands. We were adding in revenue every, like, so many days. So we've turned it down. And we're just like just resting a little bit, because the growth was so ridiculous that we have to stop it. The revenue wise is seven figures. The most amazing thing is, obviously, Tim's been using our product for a while, Tim Lovejoy, and I've seen his before and after picture so far. I think he's on month four, and he had a little bit of a break halfway through, but his hair is coming through really, really well. I would probably say he's got 2 more months left of using the product before he can actually grow it out fully. And the big thing with this is, right, and I think everyone, you don't realize it until you're in the situation, because this is what I've figured out with a lot of this hair loss stuff, is that you can't appreciate the magnitude that it is changing your life when it's never affected your life. So, you know, let's say you've been bald for like 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and everyone's always known you as being bald, right? When your hair starts growing out, at some point you have to let it go to a 3, to a 4, to a 5. Do you see what I'm saying? At some point you've got to let it grow out. And it's having the confidence in your hairline and in the product to let your hair grow out. And I completely understand why Tim is leaving it a little bit longer, because he is on TV every single day. And if it doesn't grow out correctly for him, it will really knock his confidence. So it's been amazing to watch him on the progress. You know, he wasn't somebody who needed his hair saving, that it was receding, whatever. His hair had completely like gone, right? It wasn't like it was. I don't know how to say this in a non nice way. So Tim, if you do listen to these podcasts, which I hope you don't, I hope you don't waste your time listening to these podcasts. We've got stuff to do in that business. It was recovery, right? It needed to kind of almost bed itself and then start again. And it's amazing to see the progress on that. And if you haven't seen the progress, I believe the URL is unthin.co.uk/lovejoy, and you can see Tim's write up and his before and after pictures so far. But it's a continual process, right? It's a continual process. It takes a lot of time. And it's something that doesn't just grow overnight. I mean, I'm baffled when we see customer service requests come through and the team show me and it's like, oh, it doesn't really work for me. And it's like, bro, it's been 3 weeks. Like, your hair wouldn't even grow in 3 weeks, like, let alone like you're bald. Like, come on, it takes time. And I've seen, I get quite frustrated if people don't give it 3 months. Like, you're telling me that all of our material says it takes 6 months before it turns around and you're stopping at month two. Like, what are you thinking? Like, what is going through your head that you're stopping? There's no point. You clicking that advert, costing me money, signing up, sending me money for you to quit after 2 months. You're better off just doing nothing. And it's kind of frustrating when I see the growth and then I see people canceling their subscription because it's not working when they've literally given it like 5 weeks and they've been bald for like 12 years, you know. I think the problem is, and the problem always stems from this culture we have in the UK and definitely globally actually, of instant gratification, is that the word it's called, where you're expecting things to be amazing to you straight away all the time forever. You want it now. This is sort of TikTok and Tinder sort of age where we swipe and we want a yes now, otherwise we close the app and delete the app and remain single for a whole. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is the sort of the vibe that I see it being, and it's definitely showing on a product that requires patience, like Unthin. It's not a quick fix. It's not a one night thing. It takes a long time of continuously using the products twice a day to get your hair back. But you will get your hair back. So. You decide if you want to do that or not, because it's literally on you at the end of the day. Just wrapping up a few loose ends. I'll be honest with you, like, I'm trying not to be too busy now putting new things on my plate, because obviously I'm going away in about 3 weeks now. So it's really important that I don't get any more things on my desk that I don't need to. But the next few weeks are really, really busy. I'm in Leeds Thursday, Friday with the Unthin guys talking about planning, preparation and moving forward. I'm then in Watford for 3 days on a pitching session. So pitching numerous different brands in that area. So just staying in Watford or something for like 3 days. And then I'm in Manchester for 2 days seeing Steve Bartlett live, which would be pretty cool. I didn't buy the tickets myself. I think somebody else wanted to watch them and they bought me tickets to go with them. Do you know what I mean? So that'd be cool. I'll see what that show's all about. I don't think I'll be the target audience. I think Steve probably made a decision about 3 years ago to go after the Fiat 500 girls, and I think it's worked for him really well. I think his audience definitely is that on Instagram. So I'm definitely going to be doing a head count of the audience I think he now has, which is Fiat 500, versus people who knew him from back in the day being an entrepreneur. The other thing that definitely needs to mention, 100% needs to mention, and because I do these podcasts now in every 2 weeks rather than every week, obviously some of the things that happen I forget about, but there's 100% needs to mention, and I feel almost ashamed to have left this be at 90 minutes and 17 seconds. But the tragic death of Jamal Edwards. Jamal Edwards, the founder of SBTV and an amazing, amazing individual entrepreneur, unfortunately died, I believe just over a week ago now, of a sudden death. It's come out that it was a heart attack, I think. And it's incredibly sad. The guy was 31 years old, and he died of a heart attack. And everyone's got a story with Jamel. I think it was Spooner said this on Twitter, like every single person who's in my sort of age group, so like the 26, 27, 28, 29 entrepreneur, all has a story with Jamel Edwards. I have a story with Jamel Edwards. Not a huge story with Jamel Edwards. But I remember when I was starting out, I was probably about 16, 17, and maybe 18, and I needed some help, right? And when you're starting out, who do you look for? I've said this before on podcasts, like you have no idea who to look for. Like I had Spooner and Horton that were probably my closest two people I could call upon. But really, I had nobody that you could ask questions for. And you'd look on the newspapers or online or whatever, and you know, you were looking for some sort of icon, and Jamel Edwards was the so-called icon at this time. You know, he'd just come from nowhere. He grew this thing called SBTV. He was getting some real big fame. I think he might have just had the Google advert at the time, maybe. And I hit him up, and I can't remember how I hit him up. Maybe it was Twitter. Maybe it was Facebook. I have absolutely no idea how I hit him up. But I remember I had an idea for a project, and I was pitching it to a few different investors at the time. And I eventually got a yes, actually, but then I got aired for like 2 months. But from someone else. So maybe rewind a little second. And Jamel was like, yeah, man, come down and pitch me. So I got my little, you know, suit, whatever, you know, because I'm like 16, 17, not really understanding business. Got my little suit, jumped on the train to London from where I was from. I think I might have taken a day off college or something. And as soon as I got on the train, Jamel texted me and said, sorry, bro, but got to cancel because something's come up. I was like, man, I'm on the train. I'm coming to see you. He's like, sorry, mate, I'm going to have to rearrange. So I went down to London and had a day in London and a chill and never heard from him again. But what I will say, right, and that sounds like a dicky story, actually, but what I will say is the fact that he even gave me the chance to text the man, the fact that he even gave me the air to even reply to my text. I was 17, maybe. There was no reason for him to message me. There was no reason for him to respond to me. The guy was busy. He was running a media firm in London at the age of like 21. You know, this guy had things he had to do. And he even tried to give me the time. It was pretty impressive. And there's people who wouldn't even have said, sorry, mate, I've got a dash or I can't make it. I've been to meetings before in London when I was a similar sort of age where I'd just turn up and the guy just wouldn't be there. Like, oh, so he's at the end of the meeting. Like, you know, like, Jamel Edwards, if you look at anything he did, he was accessible to people who needed him. He was accessible to entrepreneurs who wanted to learn from him. And it's a very, very unfortunate loss, not only to the entrepreneurship community, but to the world, to be honest, because people like that, they show people up for not doing things, right? The reason Jamel Edwards would have met hundreds, if not thousands of individuals when he didn't need to meet them and instilled a level of respect that other people may not have instilled in them. You know, Steve Bartlett was incredibly close to Jamel Edwards. You know, people like Ben Francis was very close to people like Jamel Edwards. Now, would these people be as open-minded, as charismatic, as willing to communicate with their audience if Jamel had not given them the chance to communicate with their audience? Because both of those individuals said the same thing that I said, that they had a connection with Jamel Edwards at a young age. Because like I said, he was the entrepreneur out of the time. And we're only talking like 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Icon, absolute icon. And I'm sure they'll be looking to how he died and stuff, but a heart attack at 31 is incredibly sad with a guy who had so much potential, not just for the UK, but also for the world. Amazing, amazing chap. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to wrap it up. My next podcast will be in 2 weeks' time. I'm going to do them every 2 weeks on a Monday. The reason this one's late is because I left work late today. As like I said, I'm wrapping things up, trying to get things ready to rock and roll. So I'm currently sat in my pad with a microphone on my old laptop. If you lot could see my setup, now I appreciate that I'm not high quality production here, but if any of you have ever thought about creating a podcast, you know, I'm using a £5 microphone from Amazon. I'm using an old laptop. I'm using anchor.fm to record it. It's very relaxed, as you can probably tell. And I use this for my own digestion as much as this, as you lot can listen to me ramble on for 30 minutes every 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you as always. Keep smiling, keep being you. I'll speak to you in 2 weeks.